Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, hey, where you been? Buckeye Talk is about to begin. Hey, 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 come on in.
Welcome back to Buckeye Talk. I'm Steven Means. He's Andrew Gillis. And it's another recruiting pod. Andrew was out in Canton, Ohio on Sunday at the Under Armour Showcase. I can't remember what those things are called, but one of the many things that's going to be going on in the recruiting world over the next couple of months here. You got showcases, you got Elite 11, you've got the camps coming up in June. We're in that window now where there's not really football. It's just non-football news, so revenue sharing things, and then recruiting. That's what May is all about. That's what June is all about, and that's what the early parts of July are all about. Maybe we'll get a chance to talk with assistants to wrap up the spring at some point this month, but if not, then this is what we're going to be doing. A lot of recruiting stuff and a lot of just big picture stuff. So today, recruiting thing, Andrew was up in Canton, Ohio doing that. He talked with Marquise Davis, Bo Jackson, Eli Lee, Justin Hill, and Taylen Taylor. We're going to get into all those guys. Let's start with the one guy who is already an Ohio State commit, Eli Lee, number 569, number 66 linebacker in the 2025 recruiting class. Ohio State 13 commits as the number one class in the country, number two class actually in the country now. They fell back down. Andrew, I think this might have been the first time you got a chance to see Eli do football thing. Second time.
I was up. Yeah, I saw him play Hoban and St. Ed's during. That was a great game for me because they had the Armstrong twins. Mm-hmm. There were a couple other guys that are getting considered. So, yeah, that was the second time I've seen him do football things.
Okay, so it's been about 6 months since you've seen him do football things, and we're talking about teenagers who are constantly rapidly growing. He's listed as 6'3", 215 pounds. How much of that, just based off the eye test, still measures up to what you were able to see this weekend from the Eli Lee?
Well, if he is 215 pounds, it is a different 215 pounds than when I saw him in October. I saw him play, as I look up at my board where I have my media passes, that was October 20th. October 20th, Hoban played Eds. I saw him on April 28th, and his legs looked like tree trunks. He got significantly bigger in the last couple of months, and I think that that's pretty notable. The physical transformation that these kids make, it is kind of staggering. You see a kid in, you know, the fall and you look at him, you know, kind of midway through the spring and you go, whoa, that looks different. He looks like a different person, you know, like he just looks like a grown up now. He looks like an adult now. But the physical transformation, I think it was pretty notable. Obviously the staff really likes him. They've kind of compared him to a Tommy Eichenberg type of player. They have TJ Alford in the class too. He's going to play the will. So they got Eichenberg. They got Lee at the Mike linebacker. They got Alford at the will. They kind of like that combination. You know, they compared TJ Alford to, you know, Jerome Baker and Ryan Chazier and players in that type of mold. So I think that that's a pretty good 1-2 punch. I think, you know, Eli was pretty happy with TJ. You know, he said that their relationship is growing, that, you know, he kind of knew what was going to happen. He said he told him that, you know, he told him what was going down. It sounded like it was before sounded like it was before TJ committed to Ohio State about a month ago. So yeah, Eli, you know, pretty big physical transformation. I thought that that was pretty notable. You know, he looks the part. He's a bigger guy now. He's a bigger kid now. If there were a player like that would be locked in on this defensive side of the ball, you feel pretty good that Eli Lee is going to remain in this class. You know, everybody always says, you know, we do get these texts from our, you know, from our tech subscribers, or, you know, tweets from random people on Twitter or whatever saying, why should I care about recruiting? It's never finalized because it's not until you put pen to paper. Well, if there were a player that you feel pretty good about, it's Eli Lee. Eli Lee is pretty locked in. His official visit is May 31st. And he said he's going to be down here just about every other weekend, trying to get as many kids as possible to join the Ohio State defensive class, which is already really, really good. So Eli Lee, big physical transformation. You feel good about him staying in the class. I think that that's one where, you know, maybe the rankings might not be reflective as to what kind of player Ohio State's getting.
So you mentioned the physical transformation there, which can happen when you're 16, 17 years old. You're constantly growing. And right now he is slated to be a linebacker. You said that they're expecting him to be a Will linebacker right now?
They're expecting Eli to be a Mike, and they're expecting TJ to be a Will, yes.
Does it still – we're projecting out here, because linebackers who are teenagers can very easily turn into defensive ends when they're in college, simply because of the physical growth that's going to continue to happen there. Does it look like he's still physically growing? And if so, could that projection of, oh, he's going to be a Mike linebacker potentially change because of that?
No, I see him as a linebacker. I think, you know, when you look at him, you definitely start to see the comparisons to Tommy Eichenberg, you know, bigger guy, more stout guy. But I don't think, you know, this is going to be, you know, he grows so tall or so big that he has to play defensive end or defensive tackle or something like that. This kid's a linebacker. You know, just physically, I think you see the strength and kind of that has grown for him. So yeah, with Eli Lee, I think you're feeling pretty solid about linebacker and specifically Mike linebacker.
Okay, let's stay on defense and let's transition to a defensive lineman then. Justin Hill, number 126 player, number 13 edge rusher out of Winton Woods, Cincinnati, Ohio. Same high school as Mayan Williams, same high school as Jermaine Matthews. Jermaine Matthews has been very much in the camp of, I'm also recruiting Justin Hill to Ohio State. He has publicly kind of lauded Ohio State's fan base. Hey, we got to get this guy. We got to get this guy. Listen, at 6'3", 220 pounds. Was Justin Hill, if I asked you to name it, not actually name him, but think of a list of the top five most impressive players you saw on Sunday, would Justin Hill be on that list? And would he be closer to number one or number five?
Well, do you mean from Ohio State's perspective, or do you mean from everybody at the camp?
I'm talking everybody at the camp.
Oh, he's closer to one than he is closer to five. He was really good. If you saw my tweet, I tweeted out our YouTube link. If you're not already, like, go check out our YouTube page. You know, I put up a couple YouTube shorts about this. Justin Hill pretty much bodied Owen Strebig. And you know, I looked at one of the other recruiting writers after this rep happened, and I went, I feel bad that I have to post this, but I do.
Is that the bull rushing rep?
Yes, and that's okay. What I was going to say.
He shouldn't have done that, but okay.
Well, yeah, so I had this conversation. There was another recruiting writer there, Garrick Hodge. We had a conversation for a couple of minutes about, like, you know, feeling bad about posting it because, one, we didn't want to embarrass, you know, the kid that got, you know, planted. But two, I had kind of ranted to him before the drill started, like, look, man, these drills suck because you're not in pads. It significantly favors the defense. Like, there's just, it's a one-on-one drill, you know, and then, you know, it significantly favors the defense. And then all of a sudden the offensive player will just, like, rip the guy's shirt off because holding doesn't matter. There's no ref to call it. And it just turns into like a fist fight. And it's like, this is not football. This is not the way that the game is played. So
there's a lot of holding in football.
So there is a lot of holding in football, but it's like you're ripping shirts off when you're doing it. I don't know. So again, do you want to think the bull rush is something that,
You're literally not allowed to do it during these drills. That's why I'm saying you should have done that. Like, it's actually forbidden to bull rush. Because you're not, because of everything you just listed, they're not supposed to bull rush.
Yeah, and you're not in pads. You don't want to get anybody hurt.
The whole point of the drill is to see who can get off the ball quicker.
Yeah.
Between the two sides.
I will say, the Strebig kid is still a really good football player. He's a Notre Dame commit. He's a top 200 player. Like, that's a big kid. That's a big deal. Like, that's a good football player and one that Ohio State would probably love to have in their 2025 class, for sure. And Justin Hill, whether or not he should have done it or not, the speed off the ball is impressive. We walked up and there was a gaggle of us Ohio State reporters. And I looked at him and I was like, Justin Hill's got to put on some weight because he did not look big. And then he did that. And I went, oh, okay. I would bet Justin Hill is probably like 220 right about now. And which we can get into why that might be significant in a minute. But the speed, and then more importantly, the speed to power was really impressive. So should he have done that? Maybe. If you follow us,
no. The answer is yeah. No. I'm like, it's not. It's no. He's like, it's against the rules. So no, he should not have done it.
I mean, there is a limit though. You can't just tell kids like, hey, don't play, what you've been doing for 10 years playing football. Right. I understand it.
They tell them you are not allowed to bull rush because they're not. This is not like a. I don't know. Like,
I'm aware. This isn't a matter of opinion. But the point is the speed to power, very, very impressive. The athleticism, the bend, and the twitchiness, very, very impressive.
So the question is, as we talk about his size, which obviously, I mean, he's not in a college football weight strength and conditioning program, so of course he's not the size that he needs to be to play in a 4.3. But Ohio State's had this position kicking around for the last couple of years and have not really used it outside of Jack Sawyer in year one, and that's the Jack. But it does feel like they're starting to recruit some guys who could play it. Joshua Mickens is already on the roster. Maybe Arvell Reese has a future in that long term. Is Justin Hill a guy that maybe fits that role if Ohio State ever wanted to bring it out, that Jack position?
Indeed. I think that, you know, he's getting recruited. He said Larry Johnson's not super involved in that, which I thought was really interesting.
Hello.
You know, James Laurinaitis is the guy who is really talking with him. He talks to James Laurinaitis a lot, Jim Knowles a lot, Ryan Day a lot. Tim Walton is involved as well. I mean, Tim Walton's like the area recruiter for that area. So in the Winton Woods in the Cincinnati area. So Tim Walton's involved. So that to me was kind of went, interesting. Ohio State, it sounds like, wants to play him in a lot of different spots, whether that's defensive end, whether that's the Jack, whether that's a linebacker that can drop into coverage. And I thought, so the coaching thing I thought was interesting because I thought that illustrated a good point of, hey, look at this. Here's the way that they want to use him and the coaching that he's going to be getting. That kind of maybe illustrates where they view him. I also thought it was really interesting. So we're waiting for him to talk. Because the way these things work is there were probably like 50 defensive ends and probably like 50 offensive linemen-ish. I would have to check the exact numbers. But there's just all kinds of kids sitting, you know, they take a knee and they give out like a few camp awards. And then they watch the awards happen. And then they kind of get up and it's a free-for-all. And the parents are standing there. Some of these kids drive themselves, but like if you're close enough, but like the parents are standing there. So the kids are talking with other kids, they're talking with other players, because this is a cool thing for these kids. You get to meet a kid that you might not get to meet who's from Detroit, who's got a Michigan State offer, right? So they're all kind of milling about, and Justin Hill's talking to somebody, and all the Ohio State beat members kind of descend upon him. And I was like, let's just get them all, let's just do all these interviews at once, you know, get better answers, don't make them wait. And I looked at Justin Hill's wrist and I went, where do you think his head is at? He had an Ohio State bracelet on. He had an Alabama bracelet on. And he had a USC bracelet on. He told us later that Oregon is in that mix. And I think when you go to the positions, that to me is really interesting as well. Because those four schools are kind of the four schools that are in on him. But he mentioned that Oregon kind of wants to use him in a similar way that Ohio State does. You know, moving around, he can play as a off-ball player that blitzes a quarterback, he can play in coverage, he can do a lot of different things. USC, he said, plays a defense like the Baltimore Ravens, and they want to have him as like a stand-up edge player. And that's what they see him as. A stand-up edge player that sounds like just blitzes a quarterback and just, you know, plays in that role, but he just stands up. Alabama is recruiting him as, I mean, Alabama runs 34. They're recruiting him as just a typical outside linebacker, you know, the guy that can blitz, the guy that can drop back in coverage into the flats and things like that. So I thought that that was really interesting, too, because this is not just Ohio State that views him as like, oh, he could be our Jack, or he could be a linebacker, he could be this. You got programs all around the country, Alabama, USC, Oregon, that think this dude can play a bunch of different things, right? They're not all recruiting him as a defensive end, and Ohio State's an outlier. They are all recruiting him because they think he is that good of an athlete that he can fit their defense specifically. So, yeah, Justin Hill, really unique prospect and a really talented one at that.
That's going to be interesting to watch because they're not going to use it this year. But he's signing somewhere in December.
Yes.
At least we don't think they're going to use it this year. I say that now, and then they throw it out there against Oregon in like the second series. And we're like, whoa, they finally used it. And it's CJ Hicks playing the Jack. Whoa. So maybe that. Maybe, but they haven't used it yet. And if they go through another year where they don't use it, because they don't have to, right? They've got JT Tuimoloau, Jack Sawyer, Kenyatta Jackson, you know, Caden Curry. They could just play a traditional 4-3 front and then sometimes do the Eagle thing and sometimes be 5-2 and whatever. They can do a whole bunch of different stuff. They don't have to go with Jack. Though it is something that Jim Knowles came to Columbus with, and he just hasn't had a chance to use it. And if they go through another year of not using it, I do wonder with this kid, is he willing to sign up to go to a school to play a position that he has no proof that they are committed to using it yet? Did anybody ask him any type of question like that? Or
no, that's a good question that I should have asked at the time. That would have been a good question to ask. So maybe the next time I see him, that's a good question to kind of put out, because one of the things that Larry Johnson does, I know, with recruiting that does matter to you know, a lot of kids, is what Larry does is Larry kind of shows them clips and says, like, this is who I think you are and this is what I think you can be. And I know that this happens a lot, but you know, with other different schools, but you know, I've been told that that's kind of one of the things that Ohio State does to recruit. So, like, pulling out Oklahoma State clips from Jim Knowles saying, like, hey, this from 2019, this is what you are, right? Like, I'm curious to see, you know, how that would mix. So that's a good question. Good job, Stephen Means. You stumped me.
So that's Justin Hill.
Well, hey, one more thing about Justin Hill real quick. He's going to make a couple official visits. Ohio State is on that list.
He's going to be here on May 31st.
Yeah, that sounds like it's going to be the bigger Ohio State weekend. We'll have to see kind of how things map out. He does want to have his commitment on July 3rd. July 3rd is his birthday. So it sounds like he is going to be making his commitment on that day. So he's got about 2 months. You know, he'll have a couple official visits. He'll have a couple things to check out. And then it sounds like we'll get a decision the week of the 4th of July.
Okay, so that's Justin Hill, number 126 player, number 13 edge rusher, Ohio State, with an opportunity to get a third player from Winton Wood High School down in Cincinnati during the Ryan Day era. Of course, Mayan Williams kicked things off in the 2020 class. Then you had Jermaine Matthews in the 2023 class, and now you could potentially have Justin Hill here in the 2025 class. So we're going to take a quick break, then we're going to flip sides of the ball and go to offense, where Andrew talked with a wide receiver, plus an update on the Ohio State running back search. We're in a class where maybe they end up with two, maybe they end up with one, but as Carlos Lachlan transitions from coaching at Oregon to coaching at Ohio State, how is that going? And also, what the impact of Tony Alford's departure from Michigan has been for Ohio State. And we'll talk more about that when we come back here on Buckeye Talk. So before we get into the running back conversation, Andrew did talk with another wide receiver on Sunday. Ohio State right now, one wide receiver in his 2025 recruiting class in Desi Jones out of New Jersey. They did have another one in Javon Boggs out of Florida, but he decommitted after about 4 or 5 months in the class, and Desi Jones replaced him. And you talked with another one who looks like he could be on Ohio State's radar, Andrew, on Sunday, Taylen Taylor out of Geneva, Illinois, the number 112 player, number 13 wide receiver, as Brian Hartline continues to put together this wide receiver class where we're not quite sure what it's going to look like. DeCorian Moore, the top wide receiver in the country, was on campus with his mother over the weekend as well. So a lot happening at wide receiver, even if it's not coming together as quickly as maybe it has in the past for Brian Hartline. What were your impressions of Taylor this past weekend?
Yeah, impressive kid. I don't think he had his best day camping. But this is a kid who I think is still a really talented football player. I'm not going to let, one camp in, t-shirt and shorts and tights, kind of prove to me that a kid can't play football. There are a couple of visits that he's got scheduled. He wants to visit Notre Dame. He's going to visit Georgia. He's going to visit Ohio State. There's a couple on the docket for him. As he kind of figures some things out, as he kind of works through his recruitment. And it's a unique one, I think, with Talon, because Talon is a kid that when you map out Ohio State's class, I think Talon's place in this class is going to happen if Ohio State can't get one or two guys. Which sounds crazy considering how talented of a football player he is. Talented, you see what I did there? He's number 112 in the class, the number 13 overall receiver. Ohio State already has Dez Jones. He's a kind of inside player. They want to use Talon all over the place, but I mean, he's 6'2". They're going to use him a little bit outside more than they would on this in the slot. But they've also got some other players. You mentioned one of them, DeCorian Moore. He's the number 2 or number 3 overall player in the class. It's kind of fluctuated over the last couple of days and weeks. Number 2 or number 3 overall player in the class. Anyway, he's very good. He's currently an LSU commit. Can Ohio State get him? Can Ohio State not only pull him out of Texas and beat LSU and flip his commitment, you're going to have to beat out Texas. And you're going to have to beat out, you're going to have to beat out the home team in that regard. So the DeCorian Moore thing is interesting. Can they get him out? Then there's Jamie French. He's currently uncommitted. He's a 5-star player. Is Jamie French somebody that Ohio State can pull? We'll see. I think Ohio State, obviously, those two are the number 1 and 2 receivers on Ohio State's board right now. And then there's Vernell Brown. He's from Florida as well. Jamie French is from Florida, from Mandarin. Vernell's from Orlando. Florida's been good to Brian Hartline and to these receivers. So if Ohio State wants 4 and they get more French and Vernell Brown, I don't know if there's a spot for Talon Taylor. If they get like 1 or 2 of those guys, then I think the door opens up a little bit wider. There are some other players in the mix for Ohio State. When you map out like where the room can go, you think of a guy like a Philip Bell. He's out of California, 4-star player, number 150 overall in the class. There's a couple other guys where it's like, okay, is this where the board kind of wants to settle with the Buckeyes? We'll see. So Talon Taylor's an interesting kid because he's a very good football player. He just might be one of those very good football players who there's not a spot for him at Ohio State because Ohio State has a couple other really talented prospects that they're looking at bringing in. So a couple of the different things are going to come down to that recruitment, how many they take, and I think, frankly, who they get at the top of this board.
When you were watching Talon on Sunday, is there any receiver, maybe an Ohio State receiver, just a receiver in general that he reminded you of watching him move around there?
Not particularly. There wasn't a kid that I saw and went, whoa, that is a spitting image of blank. I think, for example, I said that with Eli Lee, where it's like the staff said it. And then, I saw him this past Sunday and you kind of turn into a believer a little bit. I didn't get that with Talon. I didn't see like a spitting image, in my opinion, of, hey, this guy is, he's a Mecca Buka, but 16 years old, or he's, you know, Chris Olave, but 16 years old or something like that. I just, to me, I didn't see that type of, comparison.
So what stood out about him? Just in general, as you were watching him.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I don't think it was his best day, but the size, I think, is really important. You know, the size is a big deal. You know, I think when you talk about the level of player that Ohio State recruits, he certainly fits that, like, physical mold. And, you know, there are some kids you watch and you're like, that's a good football player, but he's not ever going to end up at Ohio State because he's, you know, 5'11" or something like that. And he's 150 pounds and that's just not going to work. Talent has the physical attributes. And I think, you know, I thought he had good ball skills. Like I said, I don't think he had his best day at the camp, but, you know, good ball skills, good hands. I think physically he kind of checks the boxes that you're looking for. So, we'll see. You know, Notre Dame is really interested. He's got a Georgia official visit scheduled as well. So there's a couple other big time programs that are, you know, that are kind of sniffing around talent.
Okay, let's wrap up with the running back conversation. And I want to start with Bo Jackson, the number 72 player, number 5 running back out of Cleveland, Ohio, Villa Angela, St. Joseph High School. Awesome name. Larger running back in this situation. I know you talked with Bo Jackson on Sunday. First and foremost, just what were your impressions of him as you were watching him go through drills and go through things on Sunday? And then what did he have to say about where things stand with him in Ohio State and during the summer?
You want to know what's funny about Bo Jackson? His name isn't really Bo Jackson. It's Lamar. So I thought that was pretty funny that either way, you're talking about a guy who is repping a name that is going to be hard to live up to. Yeah, Bo, you know, he's a quiet kid. You know, didn't really say too much. You know, but I mean, this is a guy who I think, you know, Ohio State has really kind of, you know, pushed for in of late, especially since you know, especially since Carlos Lachlan got there. And we will get into another situation with Carlos Lachlan here later. His situation, I don't mean that negatively, just another storyline with Carlos Lachlan. But Ohio State really wants Bo Jackson. You know, there's a player out in California, Jordan Davison, who is at the top of their board at running back. You know, I think that they would love to have Jordan Davison and Bo Jackson. That'd be two top 100 running backs in the class. You know, so with Bo, you know, it sounds like there wasn't really an impact from when Carlos Lachlan came in and Tony Alford departed. You know, the thing that he said to me was that, you know, he was looking for a family environment. You know, that's something that, you know, he's looking for in his recruitment. And does it sound like platitudes? Does it sound like a cliche? Did it sound like, Andrew, why did you just tell me that? I think so. I would say that if I were listening to this podcast as an Ohio State fan. My counter to that would be when the players start repeating things that the coaches are telling them, you can start to see alignment. And you can start to kind of see that, okay, one of the things that Lachlan has really kind of brought up and one of the things that Ryan Day talks about all the time is the word family and brotherhood and hoorah, fight team, you know, go team, fight win. Like you hear all these words and you definitely started to hear some of those buzzwords with Bo Jackson. So, you know, I don't think that this is a lock by any means. You know, I don't think that, you know, he's 100% coming to Ohio State or anything like that. I would say that Ohio State probably leads right now in his recruitment. But this is just a good football player, man. And I'm curious to see kind of, you know, kind of where this recruitment ends up for him, because you map it out and, you know, he's a stout kid, right? You know, he's a big kid, you know, run low to the ground, good runner. I know Kentucky's involved. There are a lot of other programs that are kind of sniffing around, but With Bo, I think you're seeing the things you want to see if you're Ohio State.
Who would you say is the biggest competition for him?
Kentucky, I know, is involved. You know, they're a program that has been, you know, that has been kind of sniffing around. Let's see. I'm trying to think of, you know, the other programs. Like, there wasn't another one that really kind of stood out to me. I would probably say Kentucky. You know, that would probably be the number one program that is kind of a big problem, because, you know, he's got offers, you know, from a couple of different places. You know, the Michigan stuff, it's interesting. It sounds like, you know, we're with one player that we'll talk about in a minute. Like, there's a, you know, there was a big switch and there was a big kind of change, you know, when a, you know, when a coach leaves. Didn't really sound like that happened with Bo Jackson, so I wouldn't really count Michigan in that list or anything like that. You know, he's got 20 plus offers, but I think that those two right now, Ohio State and Kentucky, are probably the biggest fish.
So if Ohio State wins out with Bo Jackson, just what type of running back would they be getting if they do eventually win this battle?
Yeah, I mean, well, you're getting a pretty prototypical running back, right? You know, he's 6 foot, he's 205. I mean, when you're a junior in high school, that's pretty solid. You know, I thought, you know, he didn't participate athletically in the camp. He was recovering from an injury, so he was just kind of there. You know, he stretched out a little bit. I think he might have done some like light running and stuff like that, but he was not doing, like, for example, they had like, what would have been a great video was they did a like a running back drill where like the running back would either run like an out route or a flare route or like an in route or a button hook or something, like just a short little route over the middle, and they would have the linebackers cover them. So we could have had Bo Jackson versus Eli Lee. But Bo Jackson was obviously not participating. So, you know, definitely hard to kind of get a glimpse of, you know, like, for example, with Eli, you saw the physical transformation, you kind of saw that manifest itself on the field. With Bo, it's a little bit difficult because you haven't yet, right? You know, you haven't seen kind of what the offseason has been for him and what the offseason has looked like. So, a little hard to say, but I mean, he's got good size already. I think, like, in terms of like height, weight, speed, you want to see, or you're seeing what you want to see. Agility is good with him, you know, kind of short burst quickness. And I mean, this is a player who, you know, you feel good about running in any kind of system. You know, you feel him, you know, run it. You feel that he can run between the tackles and that he can run outside. So I think if you were to pair him with Jordan Davison, this would be a very, very good class.
So let's wrap up with Marquise Davis, the number 165 player, number 11 running back, also from Cleveland Heights High School, up near where we're at. Well, where our company is. We actually just live in Columbus. But it felt like he was on the table for Ohio State, right? Ohio State had an opportunity here where maybe if it got two running backs, they both could be from their own backyard. And then Tony Alford left for Michigan, and it seems like some momentum has shifted in the recruitment of Marquise Davis. He talked about his reaction to Tony Alford leaving and where that maybe leaves him. Is there a relationship between Ohio State and Marquise Davis right now? And if not, has Michigan maybe emerged as the heavy favorite to land him?
Yeah, I was talking to Marquise. I remember he was – all the Michigan guys were obviously – because, you know, all the – there are different – couple different reporters there. There were a couple Notre Dame reporters. There were a couple Michigan reporters, a couple Ohio State reporters, you know, all the local area schools. So, obviously, the Michigan guys, you know, were very interested in Marquise and kind of where his recruitment was. And he didn't really talk to Ohio State reporters, and not that he didn't want to. It's just that nobody really saw the point. You know, so I just kind of ran over right as he was leaving and got a couple of minutes with him. And I think, I mean, Ohio State's out. Like, you feel pretty confident saying Ohio State's out. I mean, to cut to the chase, I asked him directly, is Ohio State still in the mix or have they fallen off? Word for word, that was my question. And he goes, yeah, they've fallen off. And I was like, okay. You know, he was once an Ohio State lean. He was once an Ohio State kind of favorite, I think, when Tony Alford was here. I mean, if I'm sure if you were to go back and listen to recruiting pods from, you know, maybe February and March, you know, before Tony left and earlier than that, we would have said, you know, Marquise Davis could be a player that, you know, they bring in as an in-state guy. And I don't think that that's going to happen anymore. the Michigan is definitely seeming to be the program that is out front. He's got a couple of crystal balls to Michigan. Do you want to believe those? Maybe. I mean, that's kind of what the national guys who are connected with every program are hearing. Marquise told me that he was like, I don't even know what a crystal ball is. So like, if they're telling me I'm going to Michigan, why would I commit to a school where, you know, all of these, you know, people are telling me I'm committed to this school, but that doesn't mean I have to go to this school. You know, if I don't want to go to that school, I don't want to go to that school. I want to do what's best for me. So, you know, Marquise Davis, I think Michigan leads right now. And I think, Ohio State is frankly just out of the running. Which would be interesting because this would be the second year in a row that Michigan pulls an Ohio running back out of the state of Ohio, like a Jordan Marshall last year. Steven, I believe Jordan Marshall was like a top 80 recruit, top 75 recruit. He was a higher rated recruit than Marquise Davis. But Marshall was a pretty good running back. He goes to Michigan. And it kind of the way that things are trending sounds like Marquise Davis is going to be at Michigan sooner rather than later.
Yeah, but with that situation, Ohio State wasn't that big of a deal. To Ohio State, they lost Jordan Marshall because they followed up with James Peoples like a week and a half later. And they had Jordan Lyle. Obviously, he flipped to Miami, but they're really happy with James Peoples. And now it looks like Peoples might end up being their running back three in the situation. So it was a big deal because Jordan Marshall's from Ohio. And he went to Michigan at a time when recruiting momentum is a real thing. And sometimes mm-hmm. recruiting momentum can just be recruiting perception. And Michigan has done a good job over the last couple of years of winning the perception wars at times when they're putting together their recruiting classes. And I think it's funny. They're not the only school that does this, by the way. Ohio State does it at times, and every school does it. But it's more notable when Michigan does it because we cover Ohio State, and fans get upset when Michigan has any level of success. So just like in that situation, if you lose out on Marquise Davis because your running backs coach left, but you still end up with Jordan Davison and you still end up with Bo Jackson, which the way you're talking, it sounds like it's very much still on the table that you end up with both of those guys still. It's probably still a quality running back class for Ohio State, but we'll see how that continues to unfold here. Carlos Lachlan, he had relationships with a lot of these players already because, like I said on a previous pod, he's not coming from a group of five school. He's coming from Oregon.
That was one of the things that I talked with Marquise Davis about. He did not have a relationship with Carlos mm-hmm. Lachlan. So I think that was one of the things, you know, Marquise said that, I've known Tony since I was a freshman in high school, and loyalty mm-hmm. is a big thing in my recruitment. And I know some Ohio State fans are probably upset that loyalty is a big thing in their recruitment because they're saying, where's Tony Alford's loyalty? He liked the coach that was recruiting him. And he said that, you know, when Tony Alford left, it was just him recruiting him at Ohio State. You know, it wasn't really the entire staff. And when Tony Alford ended up at Michigan, Tony Alford immediately switched, as you could imagine. I mean, Tony Alford's not going to be like, I think you should still consider my now biggest rival. You know, Tony Alford's not going to tell him that. And Marquise told me that he's like, look, it was big because I knew that he started talking about me because then all the other coaches started recruiting me as well. So, you know, it became a big thing for Michigan, and, you know, Michigan's entire staff really kind of jumped in quick once Alford ended up at Michigan. So, it sounded like Lachlan didn't really have a relationship with Davis. And, it sounds like, if I had to bet right now, if I had to put in a crystal ball or a prediction machine or whatever you want to call it, I would put it in for Michigan.
So if Tony Alford was the only person who was recruiting you at Ohio State, it doesn't sound like he was going to end up at Ohio State anyway, because that's just not the way Ohio State is typically going about things, where it's just one person recruiting. It mm-hmm. is more of a group effort in some of these. Now, there's obviously a clear lead, right? When you were mm-hmm. recruiting JT Tuimoloau, you know, Larry Johnson is clearly heading up all of that, but it's not like you only had a relationship with one coach. They don't tend to do things that way.
Sure.
So if that was the case, and he probably wasn't going to end up a Buckeye anyway, it's just, to your point, with Alford gone, even the slim possibility of it probably has gone out the door. So it'll be interesting to see how that running back position unfolds. I would assume that Jordan Davison and Bo Jackson and maybe some other guys take some official visits in June as well. And this will be maybe a longer process as Carlos Lachlan transitions from recruiting at Oregon to recruiting at Ohio State. To your point with Marquise Davis, he did not have an offer from Oregon. So that's even more of a have a relationship with Carlos Lachlan. He didn't have a relationship with Oregon either. So it will be interesting to see how that unfolds. They probably do need two in the cycle because they're probably going to lose two after the 2024 season, and you need to replenish that room. Get the text 614-350-3315. Camp season is right around the corner. Plus, Andrew's probably going to be heading up some high schools and whatnot. All that information that we talked about today goes to your phones first. 2-week free trial, $3.99 after that, 614-350-3315. The transfer portal has officially closed as you're listening to this pod. On Wednesday, we're going to be reviewing the players that Ohio State did lose to the portal. As we're recording this, maybe Tuesday afternoon, they've lost four guys, I believe. That's the counter. Maybe that number goes up by the time that we sit down to record the transfer portal pod on Wednesday. But as of right now, the transfer portal is closed. Ohio State, the explosive fireworks in the transfer portal weren't quite that. You did lose a couple of depth pieces, but not anything crazy. So that'll come later this week. But plus, next week, early next week, we're going to be doing a pod ranking the most valuable players on Ohio State's team in 2024. So get the text 614-350-3315 for Andrew Gillis. I'm Stephen Means, and that was Buckeye Talk.